Welcome to ICOSA's Driving Force Radio, where we discover what drives today's leaders. Now, here's your host, Jan Mazzotti.
Welcome to Driving Force Radio, where we seek to discover what drives today's leaders. I'm Jan Mazzotti. Today is our Energy 101 segment with Kelly De La Torre, our collaborative partner from ALG Attorneys. Kelly is an energy attorney here in the Denver area who is one of the co-founders of Women in Energy and also maintains the Rocky Mountain Energy blog. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thanks, Jan. Thanks for having me, as usual.
Yeah, we love having you here because you always bring the most interesting conversations, and today is no different.
Yeah, today is no different, and it's always a really interactive conversation, which is what I really like, and today we're talking about building sustainability.
Yeah, and the innovations in building sustainability aren't just in these big national cities. I mean, you hear about this stuff, you hear about whole campuses being innovative, but I love what you did with this show, Kelly, in that you brought it down to a very micro level. You brought it down to our own state here in Colorado. And you also took it past just the business perspective, but you really brought a public and a private perspective to the conversation today.
Yeah, so what we're going to be talking about today is how private industry is working with our public sector to coordinate and integrate a lot of these technologies and strategies to build sort of a platform that other cities can then use and build up their cities in these sustainable initiatives. And the results are staggering, as we'll see today.
We absolutely will. Our first guest is Joe Castro, the facilities and fleet manager at the city of Boulder, and a fantastic guy with a lot of rich history. Our second guest is Leslie LaRocque, the director of business development at McKinstry, which is based up in the Boulder area as well. And they're really an engineering firm that works with organizations to put together these innovative strategies. Yes?
Right. And they have, they also have this unique financing arm where they can provide the finance, and everything, all of their work is guaranteed, and so they have a whole system in place and a whole basically a mechanism that companies can take advantage of and public entities can take advantage of.
Well, and the third guest is Jeff Hohensee from the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado. And again, here's a totally different perspective. This is a nonprofit working in this conversation. And so you have business, you have government, you have nonprofit, all coming together on these collaborative efforts around sustainable development and innovations in building reconstruction and or construction, yes?
And what it really shows is that we do all have to come together. It's not going to be private industry that takes the lead. It's not going to be our public sector that takes the lead. It's that we all have to work together so that we can answer a lot of these tough questions. And you're right, like bringing together the nonprofit and the municipality and the private industry, they all have a different perspective. They all have different goals, yet they're moving forward and creating mechanisms that other people can take advantage of.
Well, and I love too that right here in our own backyard are these best practices that are going on for the country as a model for the country. I know the city of Boulder is doing some really amazing, innovative things, and I can't wait to hear from Joe. I know Jeff's organization really doing some very cutting edge work, and McKinstry sort of in that background, really doing the support work and really keeping them at the top of the food chain, if you will. And on the front burner so that the rest of the nation as well as the world can come here and see how innovative our state is as well as our organizations.
Yeah, and if you think about it, it's the perfect place for it because, well, first of all, we all are a lot of outdoors people. That's why I think a lot of people move here. So we do like all the clean air and we like to be outside. But as we'll see today, that's not really the key thing. We like our comforts. We've talked about that before.
Absolutely.
And so they're looking at sort of changing the way that we think about these things, and that we're living better, we're living for spending less money on energy, and we're also the hub of innovation right here in the Denver Boulder area. And so we're taking advantage of our own homegrown innovations and integrating them into our systems and showing how they can work and how they can make life better for everybody.
I also want to introduce two of our three guests for this segment. The first is Joe Castro, the facilities and fleet manager at the city of Boulder. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Kelly.
And I want to introduce Leslie LaRocque, who is the Director of Business Development at McKinstry here in the Rocky Mountain region. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Joe, you are incorporating innovation into all of your projects, not only technology choices for energy efficiency and renewable energy, but also in the public-private collaboration. Can you give a few minutes on a discussion about that?
Sure. What we have in Boulder is not, I wouldn't say completely innovative. We've done a lot of energy efficiencies, and it starts with the simple things like weatherization, HVAC efficiencies. We've incorporated solar PV and solar thermal in our energy efficiencies. What's innovative is the size and mass of our program. We've retrofitted 66 buildings, about $12 million in upgrades, and resulting in about $700,000 of energy savings a year out of a $3 million budget. The end result is a 24% decrease in our greenhouse gas emissions out of our buildings, which meets our climate action plan goals that we set out for ourselves in 2006. And what's innovative in our program, I would have to say, is we've also incorporated water conservation and an employee education program to reduce our use of energy.
Joe, it sounds like this public-private collaboration that's going on in Boulder is really a foundational piece, a best practice piece that other cities could look at, emulate, and certainly learn from. I mean, $700,000 savings in a budget of $3 million is very significant. And Leslie, I want to come to you. We just heard, you know, collaboration is key to the projects that are going on in the city and county of Boulder. Can you tell us a little bit about what McKinstry is doing and your role, both here in the Rockies and nationally, in the work that's going on around this innovation?
Sure. McKinstry is a design, build, operate, and maintain firm. We employ a very innovative, integrated design and delivery mechanism to work collaboratively with many clients across the United States to upgrade their facilities and help them to make them more comfortable and efficient, and really drive waste out of the energy use in buildings.
And that's really the key too, isn't it? That this is making people more comfortable in their buildings. It's not bringing back the painful images of Jimmy Carter and his red sweater. That's not what you're advocating. You're advocating we're going to live better, we're going to spend less money on energy, correct?
That's absolutely true. I think we all found that was not a good method to require people to take drastic measures to save energy. So we really are very much focused on indoor air quality, making sure that the environments are comfortable. And technologies have changed a lot since the 70s, so there are a lot more ways to do that and keep people comfortable. Behavior is a big piece of that, and I think we really do focus on helping to educate occupants in the building on what their role in the energy efficiency of that building is and how they can also contribute.
And how do you go about doing that? Like, is that difficult, or do you do classes, or how do you get that people to really look at their energy use and change their mindset?
Sure. Well, McKinstry has a program that has been developed and fully built out for the K-12 environment, so we work very closely with school districts and the students and the staff in schools and also the operators of the buildings to really teach them best practices for how they can contribute to energy efficiency in the building. With the students, we run campaigns and have all kinds of competitions and various things that they can do to learn about energy efficiency and sustainability and to implement measures at their schools. Coincidentally, we're working with the city of Boulder now to take that program and really revamp it for adults and working in the municipal environment.
Joe, I want to come back to something you were talking about. I know that you're collaborating with McKinstry on some of the work that you're doing at the city of Boulder. And, you know, as you just mentioned in your last statements, in the past 4 years, you guys have really invested in this clean energy economy and clean energy solutions and innovations in the city and county of Boulder and across the United States. Why is it good use of tax dollars, Joe, to do this work?
Well, if you think about it, you're going to spend the money anyway. You're either going to spend it paying your utility bill, or you're going to spend it and essentially pay yourself back for all these energy efficiencies. When I say pay yourself back, it's not just yourself. We're investing, McKinstry and the city of Boulder are investing in local jobs, local companies that are putting in these technologies and putting in this work. So it's either go pay your utility bill or pay your neighbor, and we'd rather pay our neighbor.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
I just think it's such an innovative approach. You don't hear that much in government entities right now, and I think that you're sort of the head of that curve, and it's good to hear from government entities that are ahead of the curve.
But then also, Joe, what you're doing is first of all, you're working out a model for the sustainability, but then you also want to share that model with other cities and other companies so that we can all take advantage of this. Could you explain more about that?
Sure. Leslie and I have been on a few road shows together promoting what we've accomplished. We've spoken at two national conferences, one at D.C. and one in Denver. We've spoken at the Colorado Governor's Energy Office to other municipal energy managers. And we've met also with individual cities that are interested in what we've done. And I know I've talked on the phone with a couple of other cities outside of the state. I'm sure Leslie has as well. And then we have a website where city's website where we post what we've done and links to other pages where you can find out more about what the city has done and how you can do the same in your city.
Joe, what's that address?
It's BoulderColorado.gov, and you can just Google it for energy efficiencies.
Great. Well, Leslie, I know in recent months there have been several instances where, you know, these innovations where renewable energy technologies have either underperformed or failed here across the country. And, you know, it seems that sort of has an impact both mentally as well as really just keeping the drive going in getting people on board. Talk about some of the impacts that has had and how you guys are working through that.
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, with innovation, there's always some risk. And I think the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado and the City of Boulder and other entities that are embarking on these innovative projects understand that there is some level of risk. I think McKinstry really strives to focus on a guaranteed outcome and guaranteed performance of the improvements that we're working on collaboratively with our clients. We guarantee the outcome. We actually guarantee the savings that the city of Boulder is going to achieve. And if for some reason in any particular year they don't see those savings, then we're on the hook to help make up that difference. So
wow.
I think that really helps to mitigate risk, especially in the public sector environment for an entity to invest in these types of measures. The other thing that we really do from our standpoint to really mitigate risk for our clients is to take an approach that is really focused on an equation that we've kind of come up with, which is efficiency plus smart plus clean equals a sustainable future. And it really needs to be attacked in that order. So we focus first on efficiency in the building and squeezing out every BTU of energy that we can by implementing efficiency measures. So upgrading the lighting, upgrading the HVAC systems, looking at the building envelope. We do that in a whole systems viewpoint of really looking at the building as a whole system and trying to understand how all those pieces impact each other and creating the greatest efficiency that we can in a building. Then the next thing we do is we really look at smart. How can we make the operators smart? How can we make the occupants smart? If a city is making this kind of an investment, like the city of Boulder is in their buildings, it's really important that the visitors in the buildings and the staff and the people that are working there understand what their part of that is and how they can continue to achieve great savings in those buildings. So we work on that piece. We make sure they're smart systems. There's a feedback loop so that people understand that the efforts that they're making are actually creating savings. And then we look at, after we've squeezed out all of the energy efficiency that we can using efficiency and making people smarter about how to operate buildings, then we really look at clean distributed energy. That typically doesn't have the highest return on investment. So you want to spend your dollars really trying to reduce energy usage in a building first and then look at taking that last piece with distributed energy to get to net zero.
So that's amazing that you have this whole, it's all mapped out, and it makes perfect sense. And so what are the challenges that you face in sort of carrying out that methodology?
Sure. I think there are lots of challenges just kind of inherent in the way that buildings are currently operated and the way that lease structures are developed. In buildings where there's a building owner and then tenants that actually lease in that building, there's split incentives, and so it's very tough to really figure out. I mean, when we work with the city of Boulder, they own their buildings. Any energy savings that we achieve in those buildings go right back to them. When you have an owner and tenants, it's kind of muddied, and so there's always money that's left on the table, and it's difficult to really get to that return on investment. I think the other piece is that in the private sector, you know, money is tight and people are looking at what they need to be investing in. And so there's always the challenge of looking at that true return on investment. And so we really encourage people to look at the whole building and what you're setting yourself up for the future. Any savings you achieve today are likely going to grow over the future as energy prices continue to increase.
I want to come back to you, Joe, for a second, because this innovation that Leslie's been talking about is so important. I know at the city of Boulder, you guys are using an energy performance contract to get a lot of the sustainability work done. Joe, can you talk a little bit about why this is such an important mechanism in the public sector?
Sure. We actually, in the city, did an energy performance contract in the mid-90s. The success was questionable. The guaranteed savings and the assurances from the energy company just left a bad taste in people's in folks. And what's changed since then is that the Colorado Governor's Energy Office has really stepped up. Since 2000, they've developed and refined an energy performance contract. They've pre-selected energy companies like McKinstry and others who are qualified and are just have the assurances to provide to customers. They've set up contracts, mechanisms to assure that the cities will get back those guaranteed savings. And that's what's important, is those guaranteed savings back to the cities to make sure that the capital that we've invested comes back and pays for itself with the energy savings.
Joe, coming back to the framework that you're establishing at Boulder, what's next for the city of Boulder?
We're always being as innovative as we can. In fact, last year we were selected as a IBM Smart Cities in the IBM Smart Cities Challenge. We're one of the few selected cities, and what they did was looked at the smart grid system that's in place now in Boulder and make some recommendations out how we can take that the next step. And so what we're looking at in particular in my area is the integration of electric vehicles into the smart grid. And how we can really create a model for charging vehicles, using batteries for peak loads in your buildings, integrating renewable energy, storing some of that renewable energy for EVs, and just having the building control how your vehicles charge. So it makes vehicles and buildings one system. That's one of our innovations. The other one is what Leslie talked about power education. I think we're with McKinstry, we're really showing how we can affect employee behavior and education in the workplace, and how that can affect your bottom line in your utility bills. That's just a couple of the innovative things we're looking at now.
Yeah, I imagine that it's pretty tough because, you know, you go to work and you're not paying for the electricity, so why should you care if you turn your light off? And because not everybody is as obsessed of, as energy use as I am. And so, and it bugs me. It bugs me when I see people leave their laptop on before the whole night. And so I feel like you guys have a pretty tough road ahead of you in education, some in some areas.
We do, and it's interesting to hear some of the people on behavioral change, the PhDs, that, and what really affects habits and trends that people do at the workplace. So it's going to be a challenge, I think. And what I want to kind of do with McKinstry is make something that will last. You know, you have these power campaigns, these Earth Day events. It should be an everyday thing, and that's the tough part, is making it lasting.
Absolutely, and I think it's so interesting to hear a government entity talk about everything from behavioral changes in employees to engaging in this bigger conversation of fleet maintenance and fleet reconstruction, basically, and how you bring that into a grid. I think that's so interesting. And so, Leslie, you guys are playing a role in this whole transition of innovation with the government. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. I think specific to what we're working on with the city of Boulder, because it is very exciting. I mean, we're very lucky to have a partner such as the city to really push the envelope in a lot of different ways. And I think, Joe, I'm not going to have the numbers, so you're going to have to quote it, but I think you were really surprised when you found out, once we did kind of a utility data analysis, how much of their energy is actually spent on demand. So how much
right.
money they spend on demand versus actual consumption. And I don't remember what the percentage was.
About 60-80% of your bill is just based on demand, not how much you consume, but just the peaks that you have every day.
And so we've worked with the city on, as we've gotten to, they've really taken that approach of the efficient plus smart plus clean. And as they've gotten to the clean side of things and have really looked at installing a lot of solar PV on their buildings and for use in that building, then when we put an EV charger at that building as well, how do we actually make sure that
right.
the car that's charging isn't going to make them hit a demand charge? Mm-hmm. And so it's been really interesting to do that. It also allows us, when we have all of that integrated, we're integrating building automation systems across multiple buildings, to have the data and the ability to do some advanced planning and, you know, perhaps do some load shedding in the summer and really make sure that that the city is saving dollars beyond what they expected.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I, for one, am all for the electric vehicle, especially for my house. Like, can you imagine if you could just go home and plug in your car every night? You'd never have to get gas. I support that.
I do too, but I can't find a plug big enough yet.
Yeah, that's right.
They haven't figured out how to put that into housing quite yet, where it's affordable.
Well, and I think that's what's amazing about what Boulder is doing. I mean, they've got kind of a build it and they will come attitude, which is exciting to see. Let's get the chargers in place, and then, you know, if people have a place to be able to charge, they will buy these vehicles.
Absolutely.
So then, do companies come to you with their innovations, or if there's a company out there that is a listener and says, oh my gosh, I have the perfect technology and nobody quite knows about it, but let's say it's been vetted at a testing agency or something, can they approach you, or what's
sure.
the mechanism for that?
Sure. I often send them to McKinstry. They've got some really smart people working for them. But the other thing we're launching is a renewable analysis where, you know, we've done a look at solar PV and where we can put it on city facilities, and our next step is what else is out there that we don't know about. We're looking at small-scale wind applications, biomass, whatever, you know, flat solar, thin solar. I'm sure there's other technologies out there that we ought to take a look at, and that's the next step.
So, Joe, you guys, are doing such fantastic, innovative work at the city of Boulder. Where can listeners learn more about the work you're doing, about the work you're doing with electric vehicles, and all of those innovations?
Glad
you asked that question.
When you get to our
May
website,
17th is Colorado Ride Electric
it'll
Day.
It'll get you to that page.
And
well, Joe, thank
there's
you so
be
much
eight
for
cities
all that you're
throughout
doing,
the state
Leslie,
of Colorado that they're going
to
host some type of
you can go to
vehicle expo and event.
And
in the city city of Boulder, we're co-hosting an electric vehicle expo at CU Boulder.
And to learn more about the efficiency
it'll be
plus
from
smart plus clean
11 a.m. till 2 p.m. On the CU campus.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
And
we'll see you next week.
10 to 15 electric vehicles on display, information booths, electric vehicle manufacturers and chargers, electric bikes, motorcycles. Wow. You can learn all you need to know about and want to know about electric vehicles at that event. And then at night, we will be showing Revenge of the Electric Car, also on the CU campus. There'll be door prizes and such, so come to the event.
And do they just go to the Boulder website to learn more about the event as well?
Yes, it'll be also on that. And also the state has a website,
www.electricride.com. www.electricride.com to learn more about electric vehicles, to go to the expo, to check it out, and to really understand some of these new innovative things that are going on. Don't go away.
You're listening to Driving Force Radio with ICOSA. Once again, here's your host, Jan Mazzotti.
Welcome back to Driving Force Radio, where we seek to discover what drives today's leaders. We've been talking with Joe Castro and Leslie LaRocque from the city of Boulder and from McKinstry about the innovative work that's been going on in Boulder and with the government entities up there and their buildings and their fleets and all of those things. And Kelly, it's been such an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was surprising. I think it was even surprising to Joe that how much money they saved by doing these innovations.
I'm stunned that it's $700,000 out of a $3 million budget. I mean, that's a lot of money and a lot of taxpayer dollars. And I think you can really, when you can put those kinds of metrics onto this conversation, it becomes a totally different conversation. Kelly, in this next segment, we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit and take it from the government perspective to this nonprofit perspective. And there is no one better to speak to this conversation than Jeff Hohensee, the Director of Strategic Programs at the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado. And these guys are this nonprofit organization based in downtown Denver, but they really have taken a look at, instead of building new buildings that are green, how do you take what's already built and use what's there and not recreate the wheel, but sort of restructure the wheel that's already built to make it more efficient and more effective? Yes?
That, and they're looking at how we work. They're looking at designing, making changes within existing structures newly designed to accommodate the way that we're working today. And so it's a really interesting conversation.
I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, and like Joe and Leslie were just talking about, it's that we're challenging people to rethink how we're thinking about our energy use, and we're challenging the building owners to think about, look, we've got actual people in these buildings that are sitting there every day. We want people to come in, and we want them to really enjoy their workspace.
We heard some of these folks say earlier, people are doing it different. They are working more remotely and telecommuting and different things. We also have with us today Jeff Hohensee from the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Good morning.
You know, Jeff, I know you've worked as a leader in sustainability and education for more than 35 years. Tell us a little bit about the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado.
The Alliance for Sustainable Colorado is a nonprofit here in Colorado whose mission it is to promote sustainability through collaboration. Our job is to get the business sector, the academic sector, the government sector, and the nonprofit sector to work together so that together we can really create a Colorado that we're excited to live in.
And what's interesting to me about the Alliance is that you're actually, the Alliance building is a historic building in Denver, so it's not a new build, and so you're incorporating all of these innovative technologies into a historic building. So could you give a little bit of background on that?
The Alliance is a nonprofit that has roundtables around the state. We have leaders from academia, from business, from government, and from the nonprofit sector getting together around the state to find ways to work together to more effectively help to create more prosperous and more sustainable communities. The hub of that is the Alliance Center, which is our headquarters in Lodo. It's in lower downtown Denver. It's a 108-year-old building. And I'm personally very fond of renovating older buildings. I don't think you just need to go out with the old and in with the new. You know, especially as a man in his 50s, changing where my life cycle is. You know, I don't think you just need to go get new employees. I think we need to go find ways to take our seasoned veterans and be able to make them more effective. And that's really true of buildings. Our building stock inventory is huge. We have a large capital investment in buildings around Colorado. And many of the buildings that we live in, that we work in, that we play in, that we learn in, are just about as efficient and as Hummers, and they're about as comfortable as standing out on a street corner. And so if we can find ways to take the existing building inventory and make them more pleasant for people, not surprisingly, in the process, our energy bills are going to drop tremendously.
That's such an eloquent way you put that, that we just need, we can't just always bring in the new, and we really need to take a look at some of the old stuff and how can we figure out how to use it. And Lizzie, that's where I know you guys play a role with the Alliance. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that McKinstry is doing with the Alliance and sort of what that collaborative relationship looks like?
Sure. It's been a pleasure, fantastic working with the Alliance, because our thought processes are really aligned. I think the Alliance was looking for a partner that could take a really integrated design and delivery approach to the entire building and figure out ways to take a building that was already extremely energy efficient and make it more so, but also build it out so that we can build a business case around doing these types of renovations that will be interesting to all building owners and compelling.
Yeah, and so to do that, are you... Can companies approach you with their technologies if they follow what the Alliance is doing? Can companies come and say, look, I know that you're addressing your HVAC system and I have a great technology for that?
The Alliance welcomes partnerships with businesses. One of the things, there's many roles that the Alliance Center plays. One of them is to be a place where we can pilot new technology to see if it really works. We're currently working with a Colorado startup company, Sundelier, which takes daylighting. And they have technology using, it's fairly technical, but it's like a concentrating solar plant that they can then drive daylighting down into buildings more than just where we normally would one floor down. So we're actually going to be piloting to test to see if we can take daylighting and move it six floors down into the core of a building. Now, daylighting is wonderful for a bunch of reasons. One reason is because people love daylighting. I mean, would you rather be underneath, you know, a lamp that's a fluorescent lit lamp, or would you rather be in daylight? And,
right.
You know, it doesn't matter what your political spectrum is or how old or young you are. People like fresh air and they like daylight. The other thing about daylighting that's compelling from a business standpoint is that the cost of daylight is going to remain the same.
Absolutely. And I have to ask you, Jeff, you know, some of the work that you guys are doing is so cutting edge, you know. How are you promoting the work that you guys do? And are you out there sharing the best practices? Or I know you're working in the ABCGs, Academia, Business, Community, and Government entities. But how do you guys go out there and share that work and really get the message out?
We think that talking to ICOSA is a really good idea.
Thank you.
The Alliance, in addition to working through our roundtables and working with leaders across the state, we would, any viewer who's interested in, listener who's interested in knowing more about the Alliance, and specifically if you're interested in about building renovation, we have a ton of information on our website, www.sustainablecolorado.org. If you go there, you look for the Alliance Center, you look down below there, there's a whole section on high performance renovations, and there is a lot of information. You can send us a note. We have blogs there. You can respond or comment on our blogs. We are a resource and a connector. We love to take people and help connect together different people that are working on similar enough issues so that through that conversation together, collaboratively, they can more effectively be better for, if it's a government agency, for them to work in their community, or a business for them to be more effective.
Does the Alliance also do the education of the consumer, like Leslie was talking about, with changing the mindset of people? And especially, I really liked the comment about working with schools and really bringing kids up to understand about their energy use. Does the Alliance work in that arena, or is it more business-focused?
The Alliance works across sectors. So first off, I'm not confident that what we really want to do is change the minds of people. I think people know what they really care about.
Yeah, that's true.
And what they care about is right. You know, what they care about is prosperous communities. What they care about is comfort inside of their buildings. What they care about is businesses that are successful so that they can then raise their families well. They care about comfort inside of their homes. So when we can find ways to show that sustainability does a better job of doing that, that sustainability is going to create a more prosperous community. It's going to make your bring waste out of your value chain so that your business is more successful. When we can show that sustainability, using integrated thinking, if you use a whole systems approach to being able to look at problems and you take a look at the long range, that you're going to be able to create a business that's going to be more durable and more resilient to what's happening in a global economy that tends to be change a lot and rapidly. All of those different drivers actually, I think, are what we're trying to do. So we're not trying to go change people. We're trying to really take what people already care about and find a way to be able to implement it more effectively.
Right, that's a great point. It's a more like a sort of a recognition that they could live better by making, a lot of times, really small changes.
Right. Sustainability is not about sacrificing.
Right.
Sustainability is really about celebrating what we already really care about. Yes, it's about clean air and clean water, and I don't think anyone really objects to that, but we don't have to sacrifice to have these things. What we need to do is to step back and go, what is the end goal that we really want? We want prosperity. We want to have security. The Alliance on September 11th this year is going to be honoring a admiral in the Navy as our hero of sustainability. You know, there are people who kind of are like an admiral in the military as the hero of sustainability, and Dennis McGinn is brilliant. So if you're interested in knowing more about Dennis, to know about how sustainability is a security point, please come to our website. Please come to our annual fundraiser, which will be in downtown Denver on September 11th, and you can find information on our website, which is www.sustainablecolorado.org.
Yeah, Jan and I are big fans of Admiral McGinn as well.
He's amazing, and he's just got so many cutting-edge things going on. Now, Jeff and Leslie, this question is for both of you. There really seems to be this opportunity all around the nation to really reduce the environmental impact and really bring buildings up to this new level. And if there's money to be made and it needs to be done, why isn't it happening faster, better, sooner, all of those things? What's the problem?
Well, I think it is happening. It's just in pockets. It's not widespread. And so that's really kind of the goal that we have collectively, is to create projects and examples that actually can be replicated, that people can take a look at and say, okay, the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado did this, and, you know, their building is more efficient. It's a wonderful place to work. People are fighting to get in there to be a tenant. How do we replicate that so that there's a motivation to do
and
those
you
things?
Can build critical mass from looking at these scalable, benchmarkable projects.
Correct.
Got it. Jeff, your thoughts on that?
I agree with Leslie. The change is happening. It is happening with thought leaders. It's happening with companies that are really pushing the envelope. That's a building pun intended. But it's also just good business common sense from a business standpoint to be able to take a look at these kinds of things. I have talked to businessmen that they're, especially in small and mid-sized businesses, their definition of sustainability is making payroll. And I appreciate that. And we all want to make sure that our payrolls are paid and that people are there. So that's why being able to use companies like McKinstry, who can be able to come in with innovative financing pieces to take the capital demand off of businesses. And the financing piece is one of the key pieces. Many businesses are leveraged strongly.
Right.
They're trying to allocate their scarce resources to the things that are going to be most important. What their customers and clients care about is their product or service, not whether or not they have an efficient building. And so when a company like McKinstry can come in and be able to say, we're going to be able to show you how to do it easily. We're going to be able to create financing mechanisms so that it doesn't take away from your credit capacity. And that, and we're going to help you walk it through so you can continue to do what you're doing. You can just employ us to come in and do what we do. And at the end, what you end up with is a company that, yes, they're going to be able to continue focusing on their core value proposition, but they're also going to have a building that really is better for people. And in the long run, it's going to be easier for them to retain and recruit talent, which is the core of innovation. It's the core of the quality of the business. They're going to have a building that's going to have lower operating costs. They're going to have a building that is going to be easier to get people to innovate and create in. They're going to have a building that's more pleasant in. They're going to have a building that is going to enhance the brand reputation of that company, where they really see that because they have a LEED plaque on the front that they really are walking the talk that they're talking about. They're going to have a company that is really a thought leader inside of their community and that people really want to be a part of. And that business case right there is what McKinstry does and why we're very excited to partner with them. In the process, we're developing a replicable framework. Just, you know, it's a thick word to not stumble over.
Right.
So we're creating a replicable framework to take the best of what we know from McKinstry, the best of what we know from all of the different leaders in our roundtables around the state, to be able to make it easy for businesses, for government agencies, to be able to follow in the footsteps. If we can take a building in a historic district in downtown Denver and be able to knock down the efficiency and in the process make a building that's more compelling and more comfortable and something that people really want to spend time in, which people is a really critical piece. I know this is about energy, but if you want to have a building that has no energy, just take all the people out. You don't have to heat it, you don't have to cool it, you don't have to light it. That's not the point. The point is that the reason we use energy is because it's to enhance our lives. So let's do that in a way that aligns with our values, that's not wasteful, that's effective, that creates buildings that are shrines for people that we're excited to go in.
Absolutely.
Well, with this framework that you're creating, if there's a city out there listening, or if there is just another entity out there, how would they access this framework? Would they approach the Alliance? Would they approach McKinstry? Or how do they take their first step?
So, yes, I'm sure they can. I would always recommend talking to McKinstry, and please come to our website, www.sustainablecolorado.org. You can contact us via email. You can join us in our blog conversations. Join our roundtables. If you're interested in these kind of things and you want to know who the leaders are in your part of Colorado, come to our roundtables around the state. Come to our different functions and gatherings. And we really, the other piece that I really want to say is that if you're an individual, you know, you're not a leader in your government agency, or maybe you're not out working as a business leader, and this isn't a specific issue. But if this is something that speaks to you and it's something you want to do, we really, the Alliance is a nonprofit. We are supported by individuals in a large part. So if you're an individual out there and you're listening and you're interested in supporting this, is the kind of thing you believe in, we could certainly use you as a volunteer. We definitely could use financial support to be able to help support us and being able to help make this work become commonplace in Colorado.
You know, I'd like to ask a follow-up question. You mentioned Admiral McGinn, and in my law practice, I'm working with ACOR, the American Council on Renewable Energy, and the military to figure out how to smooth that transaction space and get some of these innovative technologies into the military, both for forward operating bases in remote installations, but also for our domestic installations. Is the Alliance working with the military or working through Admiral McGinn to help get some of these technologies out there? Because this is what DoD is asking. Bring us the right technology. And it seems like the Alliance would, you know, through all of your testing, you would know, I mean, and actual use of these technologies.
So we have military partners that have been part of our roundtables around the state. So, yes, we can certainly help with building efficiency. And it's a national security issue. That's why I invite listeners to come to our annual fundraiser on September 11th to honor the military, to honor national security, and to take a look at, listen to Dennis talk about how sustainability really is a national security issue. I think big picture numbers that I've heard, if listen to Hunter Lovins from here in Colorado, she quotes that we're spending $1 billion a year borrowing money from China that we then spend in Saudi Arabia so that we can then to bring energy into this country. We need to be able to produce energy locally here in the state of Colorado, and let's start. The best energy that we can invest in here is efficiency. It's more cost effective to not have to continue to pour energy into a leaky sieve. And so if we can, if we upgrade the quality of our buildings, we're going to increase our national security, we're going to increase economic prosperity, because then we're going to be creating local jobs. And we're going to be, even, I think, more importantly, maybe not more importantly, but I think more importantly, we're going to be creating buildings that people love to be inside of.
I know that you guys are, in conjunction with McKinstry, are working on the Alliance Center, which is attempting to link space design and human productivity drivers together, I believe. Why is this so important right now, especially as we're coming out of this economic downturn? Why now?
There's no better time to try to make a building more effective than right now. If you're in an economic downturn, it is the critical time to be able to take a look at your business, to wring waste out of it, and to increase innovation and to increase the productivity of your people. If you take a look at the data of what's happening inside current office buildings, the Alliance is an office building in downtown Denver. Gensler, who's an architect that we're working with McKinstry, to take a look at the space design inside of the Alliance Center, the data that they're showing is that 67% of fully leased office spaces are currently have people in it, which means 33% of our currently leased office spaces are empty. 33%. So that means that we're heating it and cooling it. It means there's a lot of embodied energy. There's a lot of, but if you're a business owner, if you can find a way to rethink the way you do that space so that you can have people that are more productive, you can reduce the amount of space you need to be able to get the same amount of business output. If you can get a building where people, kids learn better, you can start to go around the house about why this is not just an issue that you wait for the fat times. It's more critical to do during the times when things are tough, because that's when we need to really get smarter and get better. And this is about smart buildings. There's a vast business opportunity there. Sure. We invite leaders around Colorado that have ideas around this kind of thinking to join us. Come to our website, www.sustainablecolorado.org. Click in, get involved with this, let us know your ideas. If you have products and services that would help with that, we would love that. If you are interested in being able to help support us financially, we would also really welcome your support.
And McKinstry has proven some of these space design techniques in the Innovation Center that we have at our corporate headquarters. A few years ago, the management of our company decided that it would be a really good idea to take some of our space and actually develop that into a highly collaborative, innovative space for startup companies and clean tech companies and various entities that are getting into our industry. And so we provide them with mentorship and some financial acumen and help these companies to kind of develop. And what we've created as far as space is space that's extremely flexible, that allows a company to grow and to share with other like companies. And that space is fully leased now. We're actually looking at expanding it, and we're building a new innovation center in our Spokane office as well. So it is a proven model that can keep tenants in space if you can design it to enhance the way that people work today.
And if I could share one story about that, because I think stories often, on a radio show, this, but they're better than pictures.
Yeah, sure.
But here's a story of an example of that kind of thinking that I think will make sense to people. Is that one of our advisors, a company who's been volunteering time to help us think about space design, is Whitney Design out of Chicago. And their principal, Mark Stenfenagel, came out on his dime, helped us look around our building and rethink space and how do we work inside that space. So one of the stories he told us is about one of their clients who had a big high-rise building in a large city, and they took the corner offices, the hallowed sanctuary, the most expensive real estate that has the most cost per square foot that you lease in the entire space, they emptied them out and made it into the lunchroom. They made it into the lunchroom because what they found is that by creating the lunchroom and changing the way they did the lunchroom, that people spent more time there. And that actually became the hub of innovation inside of that business. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a Fortune 10 business. We're talking about, this isn't, one of our leaders of sustainability. This is a Fortune 10 business.
Sure.
And it intuitively makes sense, doesn't it?
Hey, it's a big water cooler.
It's a big water cooler. And isn't food really we can find
food in the coffee
in
shop.
My home, the kitchen is the center. It's the hub of our home and activity. We extended our living room and our dining room off of that because we wanted to have a heart in the middle of our home that was based around people being able to eat and have comfort and food and beverage. And the same thing is true. That kind of rethinking space design, that sustainability is about people, and it's about profit, and it's about the environment, and they're not siloed, and you don't have to sacrifice to have one or the other. Actually, if we do them on an integrated basis, everything rises.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's just, this show has really made me kind of rethink, like you keep saying, and note that we can all live better, more comfortably by incorporating all of these new things that McKinstry and the Alliance and the City of Boulder are working on.
Well, Kelly, as always, it's always so much fun to do the show with you, and we get to do it again next week.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to next week.
Next week's going to be fun. Dennis Hayes, a seasoned veteran in the environmental and ecology conversation. He's an activist. He's fascinating. He's funny. He's sarcastic. And he's coming to Driving Force Radio to talk to us about the work that they're doing in these broader conversations around innovations and sustainability and environmentalism. And so we're gonna take Energy 101 for 2 weeks in a row this month because these conversations are so critical.
Yeah, we have to get this information out there, and all of these the Bullet Foundation with Dennis Hayes and the Alliance and McKinstry and the City of Boulder, they're all working on creating these roadmaps so it smooths the way for other cities and other companies to take advantage of it, and that's their goal, and that's what we should be doing.
And it's certainly the mission of ICOSA magazine as well. We are here to connect and collaborate to make the world a better place. And that's exactly what our guests have done today. And that's what we'll be talking about some more next week with Dennis Hayes. Please come back next Saturday. You've been listening to Driving Force Radio, where we seek to discover what drives today's leaders.
You've been listening to Driving Force Radio with ICOSA, hosted by Jan Mazzotti. ICOSA invites you to do something different. Be a driving force. Influence change. Be a leader. Visit us at theicosamagazine.com.
Your small business website is the key to attracting new customers. No one's looking for you in the yellow pages anymore. They're searching online. If only there was a way to make sure consumers found your website first before they find your competitors. Well, there is, and it all starts with knowing your website score. Yes, your website has a score. Search engines like Google use it to determine where to place you on a search results page. The higher the score, the higher you show up on the page, and the easier it is for consumers to find you. Now, you can instantly discover your website score for free by visiting freewebsitescore.com. That's freewebsitescore.com. You'll get your score as well as the scores of your three closest competitors. You'll also receive a free consultation. Having a low website score is like having no website at all. Know your score. Go to freewebsitescore.com. There's no cost or obligation. That's freewebsitescore.com.